Aprovecha estos días para mejorar tu inglés rápidamente con los intensivos de inglés de Vaughan. Apúntate ya en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com. Intensivos de inglés en Semana Santa. 91-133-5833. Grupovaughan.com.
Hello, everybody. Hi there. How are ya? It's Friday as I speak. Now, you might be listening to this show at a different time. You might say, but Kyle, it's Saturday morning. Or maybe it's Thursday in, you know, on a repeated show. I don't know. But as I speak, it is Friday afternoon, and we're live here on Vaughan Radio. We're the English guys, right? We're the folks who speak English on the radio.
Ah, claro, claro, eso sí, sí, sí.
That's right. We got a nice show for you today. As I speak, it's the 5th of April, and we're going to talk about a lot of things. An interesting story from Cork, Ireland, the home of the one and only Fitz. That's right, you know Fitz if you listen to this radio station, but Cork, his hometown, is in the news for a strange reason as an Airbnb. Have you ever used those, Tino? Airbnb? Accommodation. Folks were staying at an Airbnb and they discovered that they were being observed with video camera inside. So this family, they stayed there, then they left, then they discovered later on a live video camera broadcasting from the house that they were in. I'm going to tell you the story later. It's weird. It's a strange story. Also in our history section, we're going to talk about one of the greatest basketball players of all time, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Remember him, Tino? Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It was this day in 1984. So before my time, but 1984. He scored his 31,420th point. What's so significant about that number? Well, he became the all-time points leader of the NBA. So if you want to... If you're a basketball fan, you'll want to know a little bit more about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. We're going to get to that in our history section. We got grammar, we got pronunciation, we got all kinds of things to talk about on our Drive Time show this afternoon. So let's start it off, everybody, as always, right? Como siempre, we'll begin. My name is Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Un espectáculo.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
All right, everybody. All right, everybody. Welcome to the Drive Time show.
Hola, buenos días.
Buenos días. Buenos días. Buenas tardes, I should say. We have a nice program today. We have lots to talk about, as always. Did you enjoy that Blah Blah Live? Ladies and gentlemen, did you like that show? Were you listening? Tino, did you like the show today? He said, yeah, he liked the show. Tino likes
yes,
all... Yeah, he likes all the shows, though. Anyway, we're going to get things started with an interactive section. Como siempre, right? That's always with this interactive section. I'm talking about the Twitter translation.
Twitter translation.
Twitter translation. Can you hear that sound? We got a strange sound. I think, what was that sound, Tino? ¿Qué es eso? Sounded like an alarm. Like the, anyway, I don't know if you could hear it on the radio, but there was a strange sound here in the office, in the studio. Anyway, our Twitter translation, if you want to participate, you can write in. Tino, how can they find me on Twitter?
Tweet Kyle at... I'm Kyle Miller,
o lo que viene siendo IM Kyle Millar.
That's right. You can write in on Twitter. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Sé por tus ojos que estás enfadada. Es que se nota. Right? Sé por tus ojos que estás enfadada. Enfabada, no. Enfadada.
Estoy enfadada.
All right. So write in. Tell me how to say that one Right? I had to say it in Spanish. Now it's up to you to write in and tell me how to say it in English, all right? Sé por tus ojos que estás enfadada. Se nota. Okay, so write in, tell me how to say that. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show.
The warm-up gym. The warm-up gym. Warm-up gym.
Gym, 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 gym. Ah, the warm-up gym. All right, it's that time. I'm going to give you a sentence in Spanish. Actually, I'm going to give you ten. Ten sentences. All right, in Spanish, you say them in English. Yo en español, tú en inglés. ¿Me puedes dar una idea del coste? Oye, ¿me puedes dar una idea del coste?
Sí, claro, por supuesto.
Espero que sí. Can you give me an idea of the cost? Can you give me an idea, you know, more or less, an approximation? Can you give me an idea of the cost? Number two. La factura no tiene número. The invoice doesn't have a number. The invoice doesn't have a number. No tiene número. Ella viene a la oficina conmigo los viernes. She comes to the office with me on Fridays. She comes to the office with me on Fridays.
Espérate, que voy.
She comes to the office with me on Fridays. Number four. Si quieres aprobar, mejora tu actitud. If you want to pass, improve your attitude. Tu actitud, right? Your attitude. If you want to improve... If you want to pass... Claro, eso sí. If you want to pass... Aprobar, to pass. If you want to pass, improve your attitude. Number five. He perdido 5 kilos en un mes. Y eso no es moco de pavo, ¿eh? It's no small feat.
Kyle es un animal.
He perdido 5 kilos en un mes. I've lost 5 kilos in a month. No, that's not true, though. I'd be skin and bones. He perdido 5 kilos en un mes. I've lost 5 kilos in a month. All right. ¿Cuál quieres, este o aquel? Oye, ¿cuál quieres, este o aquel? Which one do you want? This one or that one?
Oof, no sé.
Which one do you want? This one? This one or that one? Number seven. ¿Cuál es la fecha de hoy? What's the date today? ¿Cuál es la fecha de hoy? What is the date today? What's the date today? What's the date today? ¿Mencionaron tu nombre en el... Empiezo otra vez. ¿Mencionaron tu nombre en el artículo? ¿Mencionaron tu nombre en el artículo? Did they mention your name in the article? Tino, did they mention your name in the article? Yes. Oh, they did. Okay. All right. Very good. ¿En qué lado de la calle vives? ¿En qué lado? Hay dos lados. Entonces, we're going to use which, right? Which side of the road or street? Let's say street. Which side of the street do you live on? Which side of the street do you live on?
¿En qué lado de la calle vives?
This side or the other side? Which side of the street do you live on? Number 9.
Actually, you know what? No, I want to review that again. ¿En qué lado de la calle vives? I want to talk about this.
Which side? We're not going to say what side, because in this case, we know what we're talking. We're talking about a street. We're in the middle of a conversation about a street. We know that there are only two sides. So we understand the limits of the options, so we're going to use the word which, not what.
¿En qué lado?
Which side of the street do you live on? So on the street. Which side of the street, or on the side? Which side of the street do you live on?
Okay, number 9. Deja de hacerme tantas preguntas. Deja de hacerme tantas preguntas.
Stop asking me so many questions. So in English, we ask. We don't make. In Spanish, you make questions.
Como en una fábrica.
But no, in English, we ask questions. Stop asking so many questions. Excuse me.
Entonces, deja de hablar tanto.
Then stop talking so much. Stop talking so much.
Come on, Kyle.
Hey, Kyle, stop talking so much.
All right.
Why don't we do two more? Because it's Friday. Maybe on Monday I'll do two more because it's Monday. But today I'll do two more because it's Friday. I'm in a good mood. I feel generous with these questions. Right? All right, this is number 11. We don't need to keep track at this point. I'll just say it and you say it in English, all right?
Tienes miedo de tu propia sombra.
You're afraid of your own shadow. Not shade, shadow. Later on, I'll talk about shade and shadow. You're afraid of your own shadow.
¿No te he dicho un millón de veces que no te exageres?
Que no exageres. Sorry, not te. Que no te. No, no. Que no exageres, claro.
¿No te he dicho un millón de veces que no exageres?
Mejor, ¿no?
Haven't I told you a million times not to exaggerate?
Hombre.
Haven't I told you?
Sí, señor.
All right. Negative question. Present perfect. Haven't I told you? Haven't I told you not to exaggerate?
All right. Haven't I told you? Hey, why don't we do one more?
Oh, but Kyle, come on. You already said two more and you did two. Come on. All right. One more. Uno más, ¿vale? One more.
Deja de morderte las uñas.
Stop biting your nails.
Por favor.
Please. Stop biting your nails. It's a bad habit, right?
Deja de morderte las uñas. Tus uñas.
Stop biting. Yeah, well, in English we'd say, like, tus uñas. We'd say it that way. We would use a possessive structure. In Spanish, you'd say las uñas, right? The nails. But in English, we're more generous with the possessives. Stop biting your nails. Stop biting your nails. All right, there you go, folks. There you go. We're all warmed up by now.
Expression of the day.
All right, our expression of the day today, up to scratch. Scratch, que es rascar. Rasca, rascar. The verb to scratch. Why do you scratch? Typically because something itches. Like on The Simpsons, rasca y pica. In English, itchy and scratchy. But it really should be pica y rasca, because it's, yeah, well, itchy and scratchy. So the itch is the problem, the scratch is the hopeful solution. But if something is up to scratch, it means it is acceptable. Right? If I cook a meal, I bake something, and it's up to scratch. Or it's not up to scratch. It wasn't up to scratch. It wasn't good enough. Right? So for something to be up to scratch means to be acceptable, to be good. Right? Now, what are the days? Or what's the origin of this? Well, it goes back to boxing, el boxeo. And way back in the early days of boxing, there was no bell to signal the beginning of a round. Instead, the referee would scratch a line on the ground between the fighters. And the round began when both men stepped over it. And a contestant who had been knocked down had to demonstrate that he was able to continue by walking up to the line, walking up to the scratch. If the boxer wasn't able to do it, he wasn't considered fit to fight. He was unfit. He wasn't up to scratch. He wasn't able to get up to the line. So he lost. He wasn't up to scratch. Good enough. Now you don't have to notice the origins of these. It doesn't matter. But what you do have to know is the meaning. Up to scratch means good enough. That's all. Adequate, sufficient, acceptable. Now, we have other expressions with scratch, like to be made from scratch, or to start from scratch, desde cero. You say from zero. But in English, we say from scratch. Like, I know how to make pies. Tino, do you know how to make pies from scratch? You know, Tino's in his kitchen. What's he doing? Oh, he's making a pie. Una tarta de manzana. Yeah. I like to make pies, Tino. Did you know that? I like to bake pies. I haven't made one since Christmas, though. Maybe I'll make a pie this weekend. That'd be a good plan, wouldn't it, Tino? Make a pie. Maybe tomorrow I'll bake a pie. Yeah, una tarta. Maybe an apple pie or a fruit pie or something. I don't know. Well, it could. Well, it could. It could be a savory pie. You never know. Or it could be sweet. All right. Hey, let's take a look at some vocabulary. One of Tino's favorite parts of the show. He says, Kyle, more vocabulary, es que me encanta. All right. Okay. Little vocabulary. We're going to the... Vamos al baño. Right? How do you say baño in English? Do you know how to say this, Tino? Well, there are a lot of ways. There are a lot of ways to say it. We can say the lavatory. Very fancy. The bathroom. I say the bathroom. The washroom. A little more formal. North American English. Now, in the United States, they often say the restroom. Exclusively in the United States. We don't say that in Canada. I have to go to the restroom. What do you mean? Oh, the bathroom. The washroom. The loo. L-O-O. The can. La lata. The can. The John. That's another one. The John. Where is he? Oh, I think he went to the John. Very slang term. Right? The restroom. The powder room. The dunny. The water closet. The LC. The LC. All right. Now, inside the bathroom. Now, we also have, of course, the toilet. But for me, the toilet is el váter. Right? Because you... Tino was in the bathroom recording resources earlier. El lavabo. El lavabo. We call this the sink. S-I-N-K, the sink. The sink, okay? And then you have the, let's see, la ducha, the shower. Y alcachofa de la ducha. You say that, alcachofa de la ducha. You say that, the shower head. We say like the cabeza. We say the head, the shower head. Yeah. Y el desagüe? Desagüe. I like that with the dotted U. Not a letter you see every day. Desagüe. The drain. Drain. Now, in the bathroom, you have a lot of toiletries. You have a lot of items in there, including your toothbrush. Cepillo de dientes. Your toothbrush. We don't say teeth brush. We say toothbrush. And your paste. La pasta. In Spanish, la pasta. Pasta de dientes. In English, toothpaste. One word. One word. Enjuague bucal. Mouthwash. Right? Lavabocas. Basically. Mouthwash. Mouthwash. Mm-hmm. There he is. Tino's brushing his teeth. Just reminded him, and he's, oh, okay, I'm going to brush my teeth. So we don't, in English, you don't wash your teeth. You brush your teeth, right? But you can say that, cepillar los dientes. Se puede decir también, no? But it's more common to say lavar, right? To lavar. Both. Tina says, oh, no, both are fine. But yeah, to brush your teeth. Okay. Anyway, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The bathroom, the washroom. Shower gel, soap. In the shower, you have shower gel. Tino, do you use shower gel? Yeah. You know what? I have to say this. I use soap. I do not use shower gel. Kyle Miller fact. Strange facts about Kyle. I don't know. Maybe it's a Canadian thing. I don't know. But I use soap in the shower. I don't use the gel. I don't know why. Yeah. Soap and shampoo. Shampoo. We don't say shampoo. No, shampoo. Mm. Anyway, there you go. Little bit of vocabulary for you in the bathroom. Del baño. Now we have a bunch of people writing in. Mohammed. We have Saeed and Mohammed writing in. Saeed writes in from Casablanca. And Mohammed is... Where is Mohammed writing in from? I forget. I'm supposed to know this, but I forget. I apologize, Mohammed. Where are you listening from? Where are you today? Mohammed says, I was looking for the meaning of Kyle, and I found that Kyle is a topographical term. This is true, referring to a narrow, straight channel. It is derived from the Gaelic caol, a narrow sound or a straight. That's true. A Kyle is kind of like in Spanish, un estrecho, right? So my name is Kyle Miller. It's like Estrecho Molinero. Yeah? Molinero would be my name in Spanish. Miller, to mill, because a mill is un molino. And a miller, molinero, someone who works in the mill. But yes, a Kyle is a term, you see, my name comes from Scottish. Well, my grandfather was Scottish. And geographically in Scotland, you do have, if you look at the map of Scotland, you'll see the Kyle of whatever. Which is like saying Estrecho de tal, whatever. And that is the origin. Mohammed got it. Yes, it's true. All right. A lot of people are writing in. Later on in the show, we're going to look at your responses. It's not too late. It's not too late to participate. Write in. Sé por tus ojos que estás enfadada. ¿Cómo se dice eso en inglés? Tell me how to say that in English. We're going to talk about that and a heck of a lot more. Much, much more in the next half hour of our Drive Time show. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Aprovecha estos días para mejorar tu inglés rápidamente con los intensivos de inglés de Vaughan. Apúntate ya en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com. Intensivos de inglés en Semana Santa. 91-133-5833. Grupovaughan.com.
Would you like to go?
Pronunciation.
pronunciation, everybody. Yeah, it is time for today's pronunciation. The manager was a stranger. A stranger in danger. Yeah, this sound, the G-E-R, we don't say yer. Because I hear a lot of people saying manager. El manager? No, manager. J-j-jer. So you have this G sound, which is pronounced like the J, which is pronounced like the vocalized C-H. Ch-ch-ch. J-j-j. Manager. Project. George. George Bush Jr. George Bush Jr. was in charge. Right? We have the J sound and the G sound. And so when it appears in the middle of a word like manager, you have to be careful not to pronounce it like a Y. We don't say manager. No, manager. 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 Stranger. Stranger. Project. Now that's a J, but it's the same idea. Project. Manager. Stranger. Okay? So try not, just be careful with that sound, and you can record yourself saying them. You know, make a list of words or repeat after me. The manager was a stranger. Or other words like project, George, Junior, Jello, not yellow, amarillo, no, Jello, which is like gelatina. Yeah, project. Words like this with the J or the G appearing like that. Be careful. And record your voice, listen to it again, and make sure that you're pronouncing it properly. Okay, that's the beauty of these shows, is that they're recorded. You can listen to the show again as well, and you can match your pronunciation to mine. All right?
I'm passing a good time?
No, I'm having a good time.
I am here since an hour.
I've been here for an hour.
What time do you lunch?
What time do you have lunch?
Where'd he go?
No, no, no. Where did he go?
Common mistakes. Mistakes.
Depende del tiempo. ¿Qué vas a hacer mañana? Pues depende del tiempo. It depends on the weather. It depends on the weather. Eso depende de ti. It depends on you. Okay, the common mistake here, I hear people all the time saying, it's depend, or it depends of. But no, we have to say, it depends on. It depends on. It depends. It depends on. It depends on. It depends on you. It depends on me. It depends on who you ask. It depends on my mother. It depends on my brother. It depends on how we get there. It depends on the budget. It depends on many factors. It depends on a lot of things. It depends on what they say. Okay? We could also say, todo depende de lo que ganemos. It all depends on what we earn. It all depends on. Harry depende de la buena voluntad de la gente. Harry depends on people's goodwill. Harry. Harry, right? Depende de lo que dicen. It depends on what they say. Now, you can simply practice this by repeating what I say. So you hear me say it, you repeat it over and over, and you gain some agility with it, okay? So let me say five sentences. I'm going to say them twice because the second one, you need to say it out loud, okay? So, it depends on the weather. It depends on the weather. It depends on you. It depends on you. It depends on who we ask. It depends on who we ask. It depends on the budget. It depends on the budget. The city depends on tourism. The city depends on tourism. It depends on what they say. It depends on what they say. Okay, I think that was five. So hopefully, it makes sense. And hopefully you have gained agility with this, right? The key to learning English. Are you ready for this? La clave, the key. Are you ready? The key to learn. I'm going to tell you. Te voy a decir ahora. The key to learning English is you have to repeat. Hay que repetir.
Ya sabes.
Ya sabes. Repetir. Repeat. Repeat. And then repeat. That's right. You have to repeat because it's not just a question of explaining a rule. Esa es la regla. Te doy la regla y ya está. No. You have to practice something again and again and again. It's like hitting, it's like tennis. I think the example, I think it was Pete Sampras. They said, hey, Pete, how did you get the perfect backhand? He said, well, I took 50,000 backhands. All right, you practice. And then when you do 50,001, it comes natural. He could do it in his sleep almost. I don't want you to have to think. I don't want you to have to go to a table of verb conjugations in your head and said, go, went, gone. No. I want it to come natural. And if you've been forced into the structure, the correct structure, and then corrected so you stay in it, that's the teacher's job to correct you to make sure you stay within the right structure correctly. And then repeated many, 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 many times, then it comes natural and you don't have to think about it, right? I'm not thinking about conjugating verbs. When I'm talking about catching a ball yesterday, I said, oh, yesterday I caught. I didn't say, oh, catch, caught. No, it comes natural. And that's what we're trying to achieve because our goal is spontaneous speech. But it comes from comprehension. And then repetition. Comprehension comes from listening. Repetition. Repetition, repetition, repetition. You repeat, you listen, and you repeat.
Repitiendo que es gerundio.
Bueno, que eres gerundio. Or whatever structure, I don't know. But you have to repeat over and over and over, and you will improve. I promise. It's the simplest thing. It's not hard. It's very simple. You just have to repeat over and over and over. You have to make the effort with it, though, right? And that's the key. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for today's Weird News.
Repeat, 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 repeat. Weird news, everybody. Weird news. Oh, my gosh. A family finds a hidden camera live streaming from their Airbnb in Ireland, in Irlanda. So after arriving at their Airbnb in Cork, Ireland, a family from New Zealand made a very shocking discovery. A hidden camera was live streaming from the living room.
Ah, Ireland, the name of God, that's desperate stuff.
Yes, Neely and Andrew Barker from Auckland, New Zealand, were in the middle of a 14-month trip around Europe when they arrived at the Airbnb property with their four children and their niece. And once the family had unpacked, Andrew Barker, who works in IT security, was checking out the house's Wi-Fi network. And when he was looking at the network, he discovered a camera and then a live feed. And from the angle of the video, the family located the camera hidden in what looked to be a smoke alarm. It was such a shock, he said. It was a horrible feeling. He called Airbnb to report the camera, and then they had no advice for us, he said. They had no advice for us over the phone. The girl just said, if you cancel within 14 days, you will not get your money back. Well, that's terrible service, isn't it? They're spying on us. I want my money back. Nope. You canceled too late. So next, Andrew Barker called the owner of the property. When confronted with the family's discovery, his wife, Neely Barker, said the host hung up the phone. Later, he called back, insisting the camera in the living room was the only one in the house. And she said, look, we did not feel relieved by that. Why would you? Now, the family relocated to a nearby hotel, and they called Airbnb the following day. They still didn't seem to grasp the seriousness of the issue, though. They were treating it like a canceled booking. According to the wife, Neely Barker, Airbnb did not contact the family again. After she got through to them 2 weeks later, the company told her that the host had been removed, but then actually reinstated. So the host is back to operating again. In a statement, Airbnb told CNN News in the United States that the safety and privacy of their community, both online and offline, is their policy, and they take policies about hidden cameras very, very seriously. And it's obviously not allowed. The Barker family is currently in Budapest. They're still traveling, and they're staying in an Airbnb at the moment. But they've become much more cautious, they say. And they encourage other travelers to scan the networks for hidden cameras. I don't know how you'd even do that. You can look on, I guess, the Wi-Fi connections. But I don't know how you would really... do that. Scan for a connection and realize that it's a camera. I'm not an IT guy, believe it or not. I'm not an IT expert. But I guess you can do that. You can see what is connected to the Wi-Fi network. And so they were able to look at it and see, oh, this is a camera. And so there's someone here spying on us. Now, I've only stayed in Airbnb once, I think. In Boston, I stayed in an Airbnb, and I thought it was a great experience. I had a good time. I found good value. Basically, it was a woman. I stayed with a woman who basically told me that she bought a bigger house than she needed, thinking she could rent out one of the rooms on Airbnb, and use that extra money to pay for the larger house and help her make her mortgage payments. So it allowed her to finance her own house and her own lifestyle. So that's kind of a good way to do it. If you're not dissuaded, discouraged, let's say, by the idea of having someone come live in your house, which is kind of a weird, when you're living in the house too and you're inviting different people every day, that's kind of strange. But I had a good experience. For me, it was cheaper than a hotel, and I got good value. I probably spent about $45 or $50 per night in Boston. I had a rental car. I was driving around. It was a good little experience. But anyway, Airbnb. I don't know. Do you have experiences? Write in on Twitter if you have. What were your experiences with Airbnb? That's a good question. Tino's never done it. You've never done it, have you, Tino? Tino has not done it. But let me know if you've had any interesting experiences, good or bad, with Airbnb. Anything interesting, tell me on Twitter. I'm Kyle Miller. I'll read your responses, I promise. I'll read them live, everybody. Okay, let's move on. Oh, why don't we do a section where we compare two things? We call this one, What's the Difference?
Like, ask, make, do, go, come, take, bring.
What's the difference?
All right, everybody, what's the difference today? Shade and shadow. Shade and shadow. What's the difference between shade and shadow? Well, the idea is it's kind of like sombra. Sol y sombra? No, but sombra. Sombra y en la sombra. But we have in English... I'm looking for a little... I had a little translation list about this, in fact. Shade and shadow. But yes, the shadow is like the silhouette. created by something. So a shadow, so a tree casts a shadow, but when you're inside that shadow, you are in the shade. En la sombra. You're in the shade. So think about that. Think of the shadow like the silhouette, like holding a particular shape, holding a form, a certain outline, like a silhouette or an outline. That would be the shade. But the shadow is just an area where there's no light. Like if you go to sometimes these outdoor stadiums, you can get tickets in the summer in the sun or in the shade. In the shade. So the shade would be an area where there's no light, right? Sitting in the shade. So hopefully that's clear. It's kind of tricky, isn't it? Shade and shadow. So we say to cast a shadow, to create a shadow. The shadow of the tree. A shadow of the microphone. Even the microphones in the studio, there's a little bit of a shadow underneath them. The lighting is quite good, but there's a little bit of a shadow that is cast by the microphones. But inside that shadow, there is some shade. I hope that makes sense. I hope that makes sense to you. All right. Well, you know what? We're going to move on. Why don't we take a look at what happened on this day? Let's go. Why don't we go way back in time, everybody, to today? We're going to take a look we're talking about the 5th of April today in history.
Aprovecha estos días para mejorar tu inglés rápidamente con los intensivos de inglés de Vaughan. Apúntate ya en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com. Intensivos de inglés en Semana Santa. 91-133-5833. Grupovaughan.com.
Today in history. Ah, yes. I think we made a big improvement with that jingle, Tino. It's much better than the old one, right? Much,
si,
much, much better. We're going back to 1984 today. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar scored his 31,420th point. What? 31,420th point of his career, breaking the NBA's all-time scoring record, which had been held by Wilt Chamberlain. Wilt the Stilt. So over 18,000 fans gathered at the Thomas Mack Center at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, to watch the Utah Jazz play Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the Los Angeles Lakers. On April 5th, with less than a minute left in the game, Magic Johnson gave the ball to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who scored his 22nd point of the night and 31,420th point of his career. The game was stopped as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's teammates rushed onto the court. La pista de baloncesto. We say the court, the basketball court. To congratulate him, and fans gave him an extended standing ovation. Yay! Standing ovation. He was 37, and he was then taken out of the game after making 10 of 14 baskets from the field and 2 of 2 from the foul line and 5 rebounds and 3 assists. The Lakers went on to win the game 129-115. So he was celebrating and he came out of the game. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was born Ferdinand Louis Alcindor. Lou Alcindor. On April 16th, 1947 in New York City. And he changed his name in 1971 after converting to Islam. He was a star center for UCLA. We don't say UCLA. We say UCLA. And he led his team to 3 NCAA championships in 1967, 68, and 69. He was selected by the Milwaukee Bucks as the first overall pick in the 1969 NBA draft. The draft is the selection process, the way they choose players to go into the league. And he was also named Rookie of the Year in 1970. The following season, the Bucks took home the NBA championship, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won the first of a record six MVP awards that he would receive during his NBA career, 20-year career. Now, in 1975, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar joined the LA Lakers to become part of a dynasty team that won the NBA championship in 1980, 82, 85, 87, 88. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was also named to 19 NBA All-Star teams. He retired from professional basketball at the age of 42 in 1989 with 38,387 points. And he remains the NBA's all-time leading scorer. By comparison, Michael Jordan, for example, has 32,392 in 15 seasons. Wilt Chamberlain, a little over 31,419. Moses Malone, over 27,000 in 19 seasons. In addition to his all-time scoring record, he also holds the league record for the most minutes played in the NBA, most blocked shots as well, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, the Basketball Hall of Fame, in 1995. The great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So he broke the NBA scoring record on this day in 1984. There you go. Tino, are you a basketball fan? Yeah, Tino likes basketball. A little bit, right? I'm not a huge fan. I'll watch it a little bit, but I really can't get into it quite as much as other sports. But I was actually chatting the other day with one of the presenters from the Real Madrid basketball team. And I'm going to try to get her to come to the show to talk about basketball. One of the news presenters from the Real Madrid basketball team. We'll see if we can set that up. Working on it, folks. But that would be a good show to talk sports, talk basketball. We're going to have to take a short break in a minute. Actually, we have some more news about today in history. We'll talk about that a little bit later after the break. But, I'll tell you really quickly what it was. It was this day in 1994, Kurt Cobain. Remember him? He committed suicide. Yes, on this day in 1994. In 2011, of course, the frontman of the rock group Nirvana. Yes. And a statue was put up in his honor in Aberdeen, Washington in 2011 to mark the 17th anniversary of his death. It was April 5th, 1994 when he died. And the statue was designed by local artists. And it was a big concrete guitar. It wasn't a statue of him. It was a statue of a guitar, in line with the style of the one that he played. And it said, "One more special message to go, and then I'm done, and I can go home," which was a lyric from Kurt Cobain, who passed away on this day in 1994. We're going to take a short break, everybody. Un descanso, cortito. When we come back, we're going to look at your responses to the Twitter translation. Plenty more to come as well. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Pew-pew! See you later, Gator.